This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, we know it's not Pentecost yet, but we acknowledge your Holy Spirit already in our midst. Continue to send your Holy Spirit upon us to fill our hearts with the fire of the Holy Spirit's love and kindle within us the love of your holy name so that we might glorify you in all that we are and do. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This is one of my favorite Sunday services. And it's not because I don't have to preach, but it's because we get something from the heart from one of our own. One of the last major events we celebrated before the pandemic shutdown of 2020 was our annual Italian dinner that focused on raising funds for our youth pilgrimage class of 2020. That steadfast, persevering pilgrimage class has endured two cancellations and rescheduling and are now set to depart this summer for their Celtic pilgrimage experience. As you see in the middle of that menu from that occasion, representing the high school graduating class of 2022, I am honored to introduce the senior sermon for this year, to be given by our Madeline Maddie Hill.
My name is Madeline Hill, and I just graduated from Wellington High School and will be attending Florida Gulf Coast University for Forensic Sciences in the fall. To me, St. Joe's Episcopal Church means family. In fact, my parents actually met here at St. Joe's, and my mom was teaching preschool students after just moving to Florida from Massachusetts, and my dad was the school's locksmith. My mom caught my dad's eye, and over the course of a few months, my dad would stop by her classroom with donuts and bouquets of flowers. My mom thought it was a kind gesture, but I had no intentions of falling in love with him. After my dad begged for weeks, my mom finally allowed my dad to take her out on a date. And the rest is history. My mom made the decision to enroll in Episcopal 101 so she could become confirmed here at St. Joe's because she knew that she wanted her children to be able to be baptized in the Episcopal Church. On November 13th, 2004, I was baptized at St. Joe's by Father Marty, and I was marked as Christ's own. There are many people here that have supported and nurtured me on my spiritual journey. And it began in the nursery. Miss Patricia, Miss Stephanie, and Miss Kim cared for me while my parents attended church. When I began attending Sunday school, Miss D and my teachers taught me Bible stories and prayers. During second grade, my mom and I attended First Communion classes with Miss Jennifer and Father William. There, I learned what it meant to receive the body and blood of Christ. On May 20th, 2012, I received my First Communion. In elementary school, I remember as a little girl counting down the days until my favorite summer camp started. Vacation church camp here at St. Joe's. Every Sunday night, we were campers, my cousins were counselors, or my mom was head staff of the kitchen for snack time. Many kids like myself looked up to the older kids on stage in the band that played for VCC and wished to one day be like them. The curriculum always included a CD with the weekly songs that helped us learn the daily Bible points. I made sure my mom purchased the CD so it could be played on repeat all week long in her car. Having the CD made sure that I could have songs memorized for the family service that was used as a recap of the week. It was the most fun to share my St. Joe's family with my cousins every year. I was soon old enough to become a VCC counselor, where I cared for God's children and watched them grow their faith. As a middle schooler, I attended Bach Middle School of the Arts for violin. I was a shy girl, hoping to put myself out there and make friends. So I joined the youth group, and Deborah was there to guide me and my peers in our faith. She always stressed the importance of working hard, and in return, we were able to play hard. She rewarded us with special trips to the movies, bowling, and my personal favorite, a trip to the middle of nowhere to kayak with bioluminescent amoeba. Followed by a haunted house where Sherry Thomas and Sharon Kasuchi screamed like little kids and held on to me for dear life. Sorry, Sherry. Youth group allowed me to get out of my shell and make further connections with my peers, as well as memories that will last a lifetime. Now, I know you're all wondering if 10-year-old me was able to fulfill her dream of being a part of the youth band, and the answer is yes. In fact, many of you have probably seen me here on the altar performing. In eighth grade, I joined the youth band as the bass player. Charles Milling took me under his wing, and I was the first youth member to take on the challenging role of being a bass player in youth band history. I started private lessons with Charles and quickly picked up the bass, as I have been surrounded and involved with music since I was in the second grade. I attended Plumosa Elementary School of the Arts, right up here down the road, which was the catalyst for my love of music. There, I partook in the violin and chorus, and I was able to use the skills and techniques I learned in elementary school and middle school for youth band. Charles quickly became one of my best friends and mentors, and I adopted the name Young Lion from him, a name I hold very deep to my heart. Youth band occurred every Wednesday, where we got ready for our upcoming performance, which was an 11:45 service on Sunday, one out of the month, as well as practicing for VCC. It was a safe environment that allowed me to forget the stresses of school and spend time with my friends, all while sharing Jesus' love. Charles always brought a great energy to the room and made sure that we all were accommodated. And if you knew him personally, I'm sure that you know that. He and I shed a couple tears when he left for his new opportunities in North Carolina, but I'll never forget him and how much he has impacted my life and musical career. The tears were short-lived, though, as the church and I were blessed with Elaine, and she was tasked with getting the band back together. I thank her for her time and talent. In 2019, the church and I were blessed with Shannon and Nick, and the youth ministers after Deborah's departure. Shannon and Nick always planned lessons and activities that fostered fellowship with my peers and helped me to build a deeper understanding of my faith. One activity in particular that I remember is a ropes course that was hosted by Florida Atlantic University. This course challenged me and everyone else in youth group as we had to use our brain power to solve problems, most importantly, listen to each other. Unfortunately, months later, COVID-19 hit. Youth group became Zoom calls, and youth band temporarily came to an end. I continued bass lessons with Charles on Zoom as well, but it was not the same. Shannon and Nick tried their very best to make youth group feel normal, which everyone appreciated. I tuned in every Wednesday, as well as Sundays, in order to prepare for my pilgrimage. We had high hopes that COVID-19 would pass by, but as we all know, we were in for an unexpected 2 years full of quarantine, masks, social distancing, and lots of hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. Although this caused my pilgrimage to be pushed back 2 years, we are finally able to take the trip to Scotland and England this summer. I'm looking forward to having this experience, which will help me grow closer to God. Speaking of family, Shannon, Nick, and their children quickly became that. My mom was honored with the privilege of being their son Wyatt's godmother, which proudly makes me his god sister. And also, Charles is the godfather, so that's pretty cool. 2018 was my first trip to Canoga, and it quickly became my favorite place to go. I remember being scared I wouldn't make new friends, but man, was I wrong. Everyone at Canoga is inviting, friendly, and I like the fact that we all have something in common, a connection to God in this thin place. Throughout the week at Canoga, we participate in activities like hiking, small group, cabin closure, free time, chapel, and everyone's personal favorite, the healing service where we all cry like babies. The healing service allows youth like myself to support other youth in their troubles. It allows us to release what we have been building up, whether that be internal struggles or the loss of a family member. The laying of hands is my favorite part because it's a way that we all gather and show support for the person being lifted in prayer. Canoga allowed me to make new connections with youth from other churches from all over the country. For those who have attended Canoga, you know Canoga friendships are different from ordinary friendships. They are friendships that are rooted in faith and fellowship, and they are friendships that last a lifetime. My favorite thing to look forward to is to seeing my friends from different states twice a year at the place I call home. My first year, I loved it so much that I went home and boasted about it to my mom, and she made the decision to chaperone. She's been going ever since. I kind of regret all the boating, though, because my friends like her more than me. Although this summer is my last Canoga experience as a Canoga camper, I'm definitely going to attend as a counselor next year. As I finish this off, I would like to thank Father Marty, Dee, Wendy, Shannon, Nick, and all of the countless teachers and youth leaders that I've had the pleasure of learning from over the years. I would also like to thank all of the parishioners who have supported the youth programs, because without your generosity, all these experiences I have spoken about would not be possible. A big thank you goes to Bishop Eaton and the Episcopal Diocese of Southeast Florida for their support of my church family. Now that I am entering adulthood in the church and have received my confirmation, I'm looking forward to growing my faith and deepening my relationship with God. Thank you.
Thank you, Maddie.